Good to be back. I don't know if you all know, the last couple of times I was supposed to speak. I think one time my brother had a heart attack, I went to go see him, and another time I got sick. Lord knows why, but here I am. Baptism Sunday, what a great day. My son's getting baptized, even better. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I need your help, Lord. Hide me behind your cross. Let your word come across, Lord. Help me with my nerves and my heart. That's right, balance out of my chest, Lord. It's you that we want to hear, Lord, not me. It's your word that touches our hearts and converts us, Lord. We got 11 people being baptized today, Lord. Maybe today, one more. Maybe one more, Lord. Today might be the day. In your name we pray. Amen. So why 11 people getting baptized? 11 people getting baptized. Why? You know, you start inviting people, you start sharing with folks. And they're like, why? Your son's getting baptized? They think he's a little baby. I'm like, no, he's a grown man. Why is he getting baptized? People don't get it. You know, I have a lot of friends. As an attorney, you know, we talk to a lot of people. And I reminded myself right here, talk slow. So, you know, we can talk fast. And you can't get us to shut up. So I know Papa only have a few minutes, so I'm going to try to keep it short. But, you know, we only have a couple of different kinds of friends, right? Those who believe and those who don't. But then there's a lot that believe in a God. That's not a huge leap of faith. But then that's where they stop. So the question today is, why Jesus? Why Jesus? Why are all these folks getting baptized in his name? But first, I want to just share something with you. You know, I'm the prop guy. You know, I did this with my kids in some evening devotion. We were talking about God, and they're pretty smart kids, so see if you all get this, too. But this is a bunch of Legos, and, you know, if you throw a bunch of Legos, that's what happens. All right? Now, you know, this one's landed on top of this one. That's pretty cool. I don't know what the chances of that happening. I don't see any of them kind of, you know, putting themselves together. But nevertheless, that's what happens. Now, the other day, I was just throwing Legos just like that. But this time, wow, look what happened. All by itself. I didn't create this. I didn't design it. I wasn't the architect. Are you going to believe me? Probably not. You're all pretty smart. Even something as simple as a Lego set, you're not going to believe me that it put itself together, are you? No more than if I show you a stack of lumber, you're not going to believe that it's going to convert itself into a house, right? So the simple message today, well, it's simple. We're all sinners. He loves us and forgives us despite our sin. We must repent and believe. That's the message today. It's a free gift. But, you know, even a free gift needs to be received. In law, we talk about the delivery of a gift because you can't just leave something and say, hey, well, he accepted my gift. No, that would not be legal deliverance of a gift. To give somebody a gift, they have to be aware that you gave them a gift and they have to accept that gift. Otherwise, it's not a legal delivery of the gift. So what's keeping you from accepting the gift? What keeps your friends from believing in God? And what keeps them from knowing who Jesus is? Do you believe in math? Do you believe in infinity? I mean, I look at infinity and think to myself, wow, that alone should be enough proof. I mean, just the fact that, you know, space goes on forever and ever. Even the scientists. Today, you look up NASA, black hole. The scientists today realize that not only does light get warped around the black hole, which means that our concept of time is not what it really is. God can bend time. It's a miracle to even think about how the universe is constantly expanding. It is not only expanding, it is expanding faster and faster, almost logarithmically. It's insane. Maybe that's not enough for you. But if you believe in science, you believe in math, well, let's look at the word. You know what? Today's word, let's start at the beginning. first verse, first book, I think is one of the most important verses of the Bible. If you don't believe this verse, you can't move forward. You're certainly not going to believe in Christ. Let's read it. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Both the heavens and the earth. Now, let's see if some of these pictures come up on the screen that I picked out just for you. So when you look at some of the galaxies, I mean, that is insane. That, don't forget, God didn't just create you and the earth. He created that too. There's several galaxies that put them around here. They'll have their names. You'll recognize, I'm sure, the Milky Way. You'll recognize a few other ones. But what's amazing about these, and if you flip them through, you'll see that some of these just unbelievable art. Look at that. That's insane. I mean, that is a beautiful work of art from who? It wasn't just thrown up there by happenstance. Somebody created it. Psalm 19:1 says, oh, by the way, that's amazing too, right? Nebulous cloud thing is called. It looks like God looking at you. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. You know, Louis Giglio said, you know, some people talk about the Big Bang. It was probably a pretty big bang when he created this stuff. You know, when I was a kid, it was always this dilemma in my mind. You know, I want to be a doctor. It's like, well, there's science, then there's God. No, God uses science. Science is the proof of God. You don't have science without God. That's just one of his many tools he uses. You know, scientists discover things, right? E equals MC squared, the speed of light, pi. They don't invent these things, folks. They discover them. They've always been there, but they discover them. I mean, think about the speed of light. You know, even these galaxies, we see them. You know, for us to get a picture of that, traveling at the speed of light, which, as you all might know, it's 186,000 miles per second. That means light can go around the Earth 7 times in 1 second. Some of these galaxies are millions of years wide. But for you to even see that picture, it took that light in the galaxy millions of years to get here. Don't forget, when the sun, God's sun, shines upon us, that ray of sun takes, I believe, whatever I write down here, 8 minutes. It's a long time. It takes minutes for that ray to get here. You know, you all know the speed of sound is not quite as fast. That's why when you hear thunder, you hear it after you see the lightning. Lightning first, then thunder. The skies are a 24-hour billboard saying, here I am. People say, oh, well, give me a sign. Okay, just look up. You can look up, you can look down, you can look all around. A light year travels 5.88 trillion miles in 1 year. Is that insane? One of the galaxies I hit earlier, it's called Sombrero Galaxy, is 28 million years wide. It's inconceivable, it really is. Our minds really can't grasp it. You know, scientists say we only use 15% of our brains. You know that? The best of us use 15% of our brains. So what's the other 85% for? I think it's there so that when God speaks to us, because you need more than 15%, you need, today I'm actually use the other, maybe 5% more. We need to use more than the 15%. See, God knows there's a lot more. There's a lot of mysteries that we can't even fathom. I mean, if I taught my 2-year-old, or my now 7-year-old, simple math, they get it. But am I going to show my child, you know, matrix, sines, cosines, calculus? No. So you're not always going to understand it. So what do? You read the book. This book tells us everything. But the first sentence you have to believe. You have to believe the very first verse. Okay, Dave, that's fine. I believe in the very first verse. But what about Jesus? Let me read you another verse. And there's another picture I want you to put up, picture 2, the X factor. For Romans 1:12, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So God's saying, when you get to heaven or hell, when you're in front of your Lord, and he's going to, we don't have to worry about judgment, because thank God we're saved by the blood. But for those who don't believe in Christ, someday they're going to get up there, and they're not going to have an excuse. They're going to say, well, I didn't know about you. What do you mean you didn't know about me? I spoke to you in the skies every night. I didn't just look up. I spoke to you inside science, inside your body. This is called the X Factor. Louis Gugliel does a great job at this. He shows a lot of galaxies. This is one of the furthest galaxies, and they call it the X Factor, but it doesn't look like a cross. It's amazing. But here's the thing. No matter how much science you're shown, no matter how much math, no matter how improbable things are, you must have faith. You must have faith in something, shouldn't you? Do you have faith in something? We all do. You have faith in, when you drove here, you have faith that the guy on the other side of the street doesn't just cross over. You don't know. Statistically, there's a few drunks out there. Statistically, there's people who shouldn't be driving out there, but every day we take faith and we get out and we drive. Every day at work, we take faith that our boss is not going to fire us. How many times have we heard here at church, people get laid off, corporations make changes, early retirements. There's no, you can't have faith in your work. Your family, maybe. It's conditional. We have faith in our spouses. It's pretty good faith, but hey, who knows? One day in the coffee, you never know. You know, we have faith in our kids, but they let us down too. Who are you putting your faith in today? In yourself? Like the Lord told Job, and look at Orion's Belt and Pleiades. Can you do that? Can you do any of this? Of course not. You must have faith in something. So why not Christ? Today I'm going to ask you to have faith in Christ. Let me tell you why. Christ knows you better than anybody. Better than your spouse, better than your kids, better than your parents, better than anybody. And yet, he still loves you and forgives you unconditionally. Luke 12:7 says, indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. All your hair, or lack thereof, they're all numbered. Here's what's crazy. You know what that is? Science. That's one cell, one human cell. And what's nuts about that is that, you know what? The Lord knew when he gave me that cell, he knew exactly how many hairs in my head. As a matter of fact, there's already a blueprint of that. There's nucleus, there's cytoplasm, DNA, RNA, chromosomes. It's your blueprint. When mommy and daddy meet, one mommy cell, one daddy cell, and it's who you are. It tells you genetic dispositions. It tells you, hey, if your mother's father lost his hair, you're going to lose his hair. Don't worry, guys. I tell my kids, don't worry. It's not you. It's your mother's father. You know, it really is easy to believe in God, isn't it? I mean, since the beginning of time, they've never discovered a culture, a tribe, anywhere who didn't have some belief in a God. Why? Could they have all gotten it wrong for thousands of years? I think not. We have an instinctual belief. You have to suppress it. As children, we know there's a God. It takes a lot of brainwashing from the world to have somebody say, no, there is no God. Well, you weren't born that way. Instinctually, we know there's a creator. We know those Legos didn't put themselves together. We know those galaxies. Now, this is one of my favorite ones. That's laminin, and Giglio talks about that too. But what's amazing about laminin is you, inside that cell, along with everything else, well, what keeps it all together? What keeps it all together is this thing called laminin. That's a genetic diagram of it, but if you show the real one, it's another slide. I don't know if you're able to pull it up, but it's another one of laminin that actually shows you what it looks like. That's a diagram, and if you can't bring it up, that's okay, but basically it looks like a cross, just like the first one. Hopefully the crew can put it up here soon. The Lord knows. He knows. He's holding you together by laminin. He knows how many chromosomes. He knows if you're X and a Y or XY. And that's all there is, guys. An X and a Y or an XX. That's all there is. Amen. You know, Brother Don Tenner here a few services back reminded me that even the creature, everybody's preparing for his return. You know, is the world ending someday? Well, the Bible says so. It'll be a new earth and a new heaven. So all these people freaking out by the Green Deal, they're trying to save something that's not going to be saved. So is it a greenhouse effect? Sure. I mean, I believe in all that because the Bible tells me that someday there'll be a new earth and a new heaven. And as our brother reminded us, even the earth, the creatures, the plants, they're all preparing for his return. Are you preparing for his return? So why Jesus? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he's God incarnate. That's why. But you know what? There's a lot of people listening. Maybe not today. Maybe online. Maybe, you know, look, even amongst Christians, there's doubters. I mean, one of my favorite testimonies was Ethan when he said he had some doubts. We all have doubts. People have doubts. That's why there's faith. If God gave us exact proof, then where's the faith? You need some faith. So why Jesus? Well, the Old Testament, as you all know, it has a lot of prophecy. A lot of prophecies about Christ. It's amazing to see how many come true. Just Google it. How many prophecies did Jesus make come true from the Old Testament? So even if you don't believe in it, just mathematically, a handful of those prophecies would be pretty astronomically insane. Only 48 prophecies would be in the trillions, one in a trillion. It's insane to think about it, unless you believe in God. But there's over 300 prophecies that came true from the Old Testament to New Testament. You're talking about books that were written thousands of years ago, books that were written way before Christ. He was predicted to come. Let's go to Isaiah 9. Famous verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's so many more verses like that. So many more. The New Testament in John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What? You mean tell me that Christ was there at the beginning? He created these galaxies, he created the earth, and then he came down for me to this wretched earth, to this sinful world? Why? John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Are you seeking the truth today? It's seeking you. God incarnate. He didn't have to do that. He could have stayed in heaven. So here's probably the most important verse for me today, the body of today's message really comes from Matthew 16:14, and it was inspired when Tatiana gave her testimony about how when she came to Christ, Sophia kept asking her, well, who do you think Christ is? Who do you say it is? Who do you say it is? Well, in Matthew 16:14, we read, and Christ talking to Peter, by the way, you can read the whole chapter. It says, as a matter of fact, let me just go to real quick. When Jesus came to the region, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. You know, he knew the answer. Sometimes Christ asks us rhetorical questions. He wasn't waiting for Peter to educate him. He knew. He already knew. But he asked a rhetorical question because here's the important question. The next question he says, but what about you? Who do you say I am? See, guys, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what your friends think. It doesn't matter what your job says. When you're in heaven and you're in front of the Almighty, it matters what you say Christ is. Do you believe him? So Christ answers Simon, or What about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven.
Wow.
By my Father in heaven. What does that mean? That means for you to believe that Christ is incarnate, that he is God, it is not going to be flesh, it's not going to be me, it's going to be God and his word that helps you reveal that to you. For you to believe that, God is helping you believe that. Remember, my Papa and I were just talking the other day at the restaurant, and thanks for your call. We were just talking about how the Holy Spirit works. You know, two or more gathered, Christ is here right now. He's watching us. He's listening to us. I think he's telling me to slow down. You know, you're all lucky because before Papa told me I had a very short message, my notes were a little bit longer. My notes today are, well, you've seen them, they're this. But my notes before were this. So, Papa, I promise it's going to be less than 2 hours. I first thought I was going to talk until the baptism. But we have to eat. It was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. What's wrong with this world? What's wrong with this earth? I mean, have you seen TV lately? I can't even watch commercials with my kids. I like to record everything so I can fast forward to them, whether it be scary commercials or just ungodly commercials. Like the Bible says, we're not fighting flesh, we're fighting principalities. The devil is everywhere. We've seen it, whether it be in schools, in art, at the Olympics, are crying out loud. You know what? It goes to show you that the world cannot get away from Christ. They're always fighting him. I mean, these atheists want to change their timeline. It's BC and AD. Even the timeline cannot ignore Christ. If it was up to the atheists, there wouldn't be BC and AD. They'd come up with some other timeline. You can't escape Christ. Historians, philosophers, books, plays. I mean, it's a reason why the Olympics did a parody on the Last Supper. They didn't do a parody on Buddha, Muhammad, or anybody else, because none of those are a threat to Christ, to the devil. Christ is a threat to the devil. And that's why when you see Christians persecuted, made fun of, that's what the world does. You know, it's not about races. It's not about economics, politics. It's not about whether you're a blue state, red state. It's about sin. Brad and I were playing golf, and we're like, what is wrong with this world? I mean, not only the parody of the Olympics, but you've got an Olympics that's okay with a man boxing a woman. What is wrong with this world? It's so easy to get caught up in these rabbit holes. You know, whether it be, and I do it too, you know, rabbit holes of politics or different opinions. But you know what? It's all the same. It's all sin. Are you searching for something? You know, in a good-sized crowd like this, there's many of us with anxiety. There's some out there with depression. There's some out there fighting for their lives, with their jobs, their marriage, their kids. There's so much stuff out there. Christ can help you with all of it. He can help you with every single problem that you have. Amen. So what's wrong with us? You know, we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. I sinned. I'm sure I'm going to sin today, every day. I mean, here's the thing. The Bible says, and we all know the Ten Commandments, you break one, you break them all, right? I mean, even the young, rich ruler wanted to know, what do I do to get saved? Well, I keep all the commandments. Well, we know that's wrong. He surely didn't, and that's why Christ asked him another question that he knew he couldn't keep with, which is part with his money. Sin. Yep, your kids are sinful, your spouse is sinful. You're sinful. We're all sinful. When you come to Christ, you don't just stop sinning. Like Carl Knott once told me, you're not sinless, you just sin less. We're no longer controlled. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Instead, we have a dominion over the world, over everything around us. Nothing should control you except for Christ. So who is this Christ? For those who really are like, okay, I can understand God, but why Christ? There's so many options out there. Why Christ? Well, for starters, Christ is the only one who's never sinned. In 33 years, he never sinned. Can you believe that? You don't find, there's no history of him ever sinning. You can't say that about any of us. 33 years on this earth, 3 years on this earth, you're sinning. Every one of us are sinful. Who is this Jesus who claims himself to be the Son of God? Who is this Jesus who can forgive sins? What if all your sins were forgiven? All your sins. Can you imagine that? Today could be a day that doesn't matter what you did in the past. Today, all your sins can be forgiven. And 11 souls took him up on that. 11 souls today are baptized because they say, you know what? I want all my sins forgiven, and I want you to control my life. Who is this Jesus that can forgive sins? Look at Luke 7:48. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You must have faith that he can forgive your sins. Who else has authority over nature? Buddha didn't. Muhammad didn't. Scientology doesn't. Mark 4:39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? Who is Jesus? Who else can cure the ill? Matthew 9, there's so many examples. We'd be here all day if I just went through all the examples of his miracles and then some. But in Matthew 9, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. In verse 2, some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. We all know the story. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat. What's your mat? What's holding you down? He can forgive and he can cure. Now, I know we're probably thinking, what about, not all physical cures. We do have mortal bodies and we will all be dead someday. You will all die someday. We don't know when. Brad used to be a cop and I do a lot of, as an attorney, do a lot of injuries and you see some horrific things. 20-year-old kids crushed on the first day of a job. You see some horrific things. And you think, I hope he knew Christ. Don't wait. What must you do? Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Some people say, well, I was hearing this YouTube thing. They're saying, that was the Old Testament. That's outdated. That's not really the law. How do you? I don't feel that's my God wouldn't do that. My God wouldn't say this. Here's the thing about the law. It has no feelings. Whether you accept the law or not, it doesn't matter. It's the law. I remember when I first started as an attorney, I'd get in front of a judge and you'd do your argument. But guess what? Judges usually know the law better than attorneys. And when a judge tells me, no, Dave, very creative interpretation, but that ain't it. And believe me, I get some creative interpretations of the law when it comes to fighting for my clients. Dave, here's the law. Okay, I accept it because the judge knows more than me. And that's just manly law. This is the world, the law of man. Well, guess what? This is the law of God. Whether you like it or not, whether you feel better or not, it doesn't matter. It is the law. Your feelings don't matter. It is the law. You know, there's been a lot of recent stories. You saw the recent story about the political prisoner exchange, right? Some say it was a horrific trade, horrible trade. You know, the best trade ever, the best prisoner exchange ever was Christ dying on the cross for your sins. We all are prisoners of sin. We should all be condemned. We all deserve death. But Christ said, nah, you know what? I'm going to trade. God said, I'm going to send my only begotten son. I'm going to come down incarnate. I'm going to go inside one of those little tiny cells, and I'm going to become man so that I can give him a sign, so that I can come down with them, so that they can be redeemed. Christ is the best prisoner exchange ever. You know, we all make decisions every day. I was just playing golf with a friend of mine. Actually, Jeff was with me too, my friend Terry. He's my mentor in the law. He was my very first job at a law firm. Amazing man. Used to be the president of the state bar. Could retire in time. He's got, you know, tons of money and, you know, and a good life. He tells me about a story of one of his associates that they used to always have these hiking trips. And he's invited my wife and I many times. He's got this huge mansion on Shasta Mountain. And he goes out with, like, you know, hiking guides. I mean, they're big hikers. He's in his 70s. Him and his wife still go hiking. I mean, not hiking like I would do hiking, come back for lunch. Hiking where he's put this backpack on and spend the night and then keep hiking. In their 70s. So one of the associates finally accepted one of the invitations. She kept saying, no, 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 you know, like Papa's message last week, there's always an excuse for the wedding, right? I mean, nah, I got this, I got that, there's always an excuse. She finally accepted the invitation to go on a hike. In this hike, they always go, he always goes one place, but for some reason it was shut down. So he had to go on a different route that he wasn't very familiar with. They tent up, they start doing their stove, they're having problems with it, and another one of the campers next, so they were having difficulties, so he came over and helped them out. They made a friend. In the morning, they left, he left, but he left a little note to the associate lady in Maria. He says, hey, if you want, give me an email, give me a call, we'll do lunch. Do lunch? Well, guess what? She's married with him now. She married him. One thing led to another, they're married today. She says that is the most important decision she ever made. If she had known, she had no clue that the little tiny, yeah, he pushed me into it. I really didn't want to come, but I went ahead. Now she looks back as the most important decision in her marriage, but there's one decision more important than who you choose to marry, and that is to choose Christ. I know Papa's giving me that look. I'm almost done. Who you choose today? Who will you choose today? I'm going to read the most famous John 3:16. You've heard it before. Let me read it to you now that we're talking about it. But let me just remind you that the creator of everything wants to have a relationship with you today. If you're in need, whether you're lonely, anxious, whatever your circumstances might be, he will improve them. He will hold you together like laminin does in a cell. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is an amazing offer. It's a free gift that we all must accept. If you guys put up the last picture. You know, you might never be this close again. You don't know when the next time you're going to hear the word. But today's a decision day for some of you. Most of us know him. But anybody, whether you're listening online or here, today could be the day that you come to Christ. Who do you say Jesus is? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this reminder, Lord. You created everything, including us. Lord, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anybody here who's doubting, who's not sure, Lord, that they will go to heaven when they die, if there's anybody here that wants to have a relationship with you, Lord, just say the prayer. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I repent and I believe in you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. If you said that prayer, just raise your hand. Raise your hand and let God come into you. Let the day be the day, and perhaps we'll have 12 baptized. In your name we pray. Oh, just as I